Thank you. Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me.
Praise the Lord. Yes, victory belongs to Jesus, our Lord. And because the victory belongs to Him, victory belongs to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the manifold blessings that we have in You. For Your plans, Your purposes, Your desire for our lives. Lord, today we say, let that which You have willed be made manifest in our lives. Your purpose manifested. Your design manifested. God, manifest Yourself through Your sons and Your daughters. And cause us, O God, to worship truly in spirit and in truth. This we do know, we can do nothing without You. And our ability to truly worship comes from You. Let the worship that You are due flow through us, because there's no resistance in us to glorifying You, our sovereign Lord forever. Blessed be Your holy name. Amen and amen. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, before I begin sharing with us this wonderful day, the 20th day of October, the year 2021, I want to remind us of the meetings that we're going to be having starting on Friday at 6:30 p.m. Glory Fest. I want you to ready yourself to have an encounter with the Lord during these meetings. I have a very, very special guest that's going to be with us that particular first night, and not advertised, but he's going to bring us a word. It's not going to be a long word, but it's going to be a very powerful word. I believe that is going to set the agenda for the meetings that we're going to be having. So I look forward to hearing this mighty man of God. What a legacy that continues to touch lives locally and globally. Amen. Praise God. Tonight, let us go to our passage of study found in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. We stopped in verse 12 last week. The word of God that listed in the 11th verse, five of the primary giftings to the body. The grace of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. And it says in the 12th verse that those giftings were given for the perfecting of these saints, for the perfecting of the saints. Katatismas is the word. Katatismas, the furnishing, the completion, the maturing of the saints. Those gifts were given for the furnishing or the tooling, the equipping, proper equipping of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. That's the second thing. First thing is for the perfecting of the saints. Second thing is for the work of the ministry. And we talked about the fact that the work of the ministry was not the work of the apostle, the prophet, even though they do it. But the idea is for those giftings to empower, grace the body, just like the shepherd doesn't give birth to sheep, but sheep give birth to sheep or lambs, that the same is true. So they are perfected, they are furnished, they are well fed, they are well kept, they are well prepped, they are well equipped, well tooled. And all of those things are important. And in all of that, one of the fundamental aspects that we need to bear in mind is that aspect of equipping and tooling. The guys have been working building this stage. And one of the things that is so crucial and important is tools. A lack of tooling or tools can make a job extremely difficult. You've got to have the right kind of tools to be able to measure properly. Every single part of this stage was carefully measured. Every aspect of it was properly leveled. Those are tools for leveling, whether it's horizontal or vertical. You need proper leveling. When the place is not properly leveled, things can go crazy. When you don't have a measuring, even a measuring tape, then you don't have consistency. Tools are important. And those giftings are there to help us get tooled, equipped, furnished. Everything that we need so that you know what to do when it's time for you to do it. Many years ago, I was up in the office before service started. And while I was there in the office, I was caught up in the spirit. And I saw a battle that needed to be fought. I saw these demonic forces, and I started battling them, and battling them, and battling them, and battling them. And when I'd finished battling them, and I had a sense that the victory had been won, somebody said, bang, bang, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor Zeno, Pastor Zeno. I said, what's going on? So I said, come in. Oh, Pastor Zeno, Sister Esme fell down the stairs. I said, what, Sister Esme fell down what stairs? She's in a wheelchair. How can she fall downstairs? So I dashed down with the person. Sure enough, Sister Esme was in the open area there, and for whatever reason, she pushed down on her throttle on her powered wheelchair, and boom, she was going down the stairs. I believe Deacon Paul went after her, grabbed the chair, but she was not harnessed, and she falls off the chair and she tumbles down the marble stairs, heading down towards the basement. I came and I saw three or four people around her. They were praying, and I just listened. When I saw that they were praying the way they should pray, because they had been told, I stepped back. They know what they are doing. And I did the natural thing. I called 911 to get an ambulance. But it was that they knew how to pray. They were not in a panic mode. They were exercising their authority, and I knew this problem is solved. That is what getting tooled means. That you have these graces equipping you to know what to do when you need the wisdom, the understanding, the insight of God. You know what to do, and you can go after the thing that you need to resolve, and it is done, because the wisdom to do so has been granted. Praise the Lord. So ambulance came. They took Sister Esme off to Seven Oaks Hospital. She had a gash on her head, sewed it up, and sent her home. But what was the enemy trying to do that day? He wanted to kill her right here. And the battle was being fought upstairs. The battle had been won, and the battle that needed to be won here was won. Problem solved. Do you know what kind of trouble that would have generated if that woman had died? Going down the stairs, the government would have come here and shut us down. Oh, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to put a gate here, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. What kind of problems? But the grace of God was available to help us accomplish a result that was so powerfully accomplished, and death did not take its hold in here. Praise the Lord. So it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body, the edifying of the body of Christ. The edifying, the building up, the oikodome. Those graces are there to build up. Now, the building up is not just the building up of a structure, but the building up of a capacity. The capacity to handle things. The world we live in, the Lord told us, he says, in the world you're going to have tribulation. Because you are in Christ, it doesn't mean that there's no trouble. The storm is going to rage. That Jesus was walking on the water did not mean there was no storm. Please think about that. He walked on the water even though there was a storm going on. The disciples were the ones panicking. He could have stopped the storm. Come on. Stopped it from wherever he was. But storm or no storm, same difference. It's my peace I give to you. And when you have been built up, you are not afraid of problems or issues. It's not like you welcome it, but you're not afraid of it. You're not afraid of whatever it is that they are doing. You're very well aware of it, but you are not influenced, cajoled, or moved into that arena where you are just battered and mesmerized by whatever it is that's happening. You are straight. You're stable. That is part of the building up. Your capacity to be there in good times, in bad times, in ugly times, at all times. Doesn't matter. So Paul says, I've learned to be content no matter what's going on. In plenty, in little, same difference. That's because he's built up. And what the body of Christ needs is that capacity of being built up. That it matters not whether God takes us through hard times or easy times, that we are so stable on the inside that we are not influenced by what is happening on the outside. Please hear that. That's important. Because if we don't do that, then your environment begins to control what you do in life. If things are bad, your temperature is down. Things are good, your temperature is up. God didn't call you to be a thermometer. He called you to be a thermostat. You regulate the temperature. You're balanced. I don't know what the equipment will be, but there's a certain equipment that seeks to balance. Actually, in your ear, in your inner ear, or middle ear, so to speak, I guess, in your middle ear, there's something called the ossicles. It has it's a thing that helps you to stay balanced. On the inside of your ear, and it seeks to balance you at all times. And if that thing is disturbed, you become dizzy. So if I say spinning you around like this, and the fluid in your ear starts spinning, and those ossicles start spinning, then when you stop, you keep on going, and you fall, right? Say, what happened? I was just spinning around. Yeah, you were spinning around, but the fluid in your ear is still spinning. Now, there is an equipment, I don't know what it's called, that seeks to balance things, you know, so that no matter which way you're going, this balancing thing has a way of leveling so that you don't fall apart. The structure doesn't fall apart. It just balances things. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, it's an engineering thing. Well, in Christ, when we are built up, the same thing happens. There is a balancing aspect. If we are in Christ and he is in us, that brings about a balance that no matter what is happening, you are not affected by the things around you, but what's inside of you affects what's around you to keep a state of homeostasis. Oh, it's a big word. So you stay balanced. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a balanced people. No matter what's happening, you're balanced. You're not up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. People whiplash. One day you're here, next day you're down there, you know. And what happens is many times spiritually people become schizophrenic and become spiritually psychotic, just all over the place. But the ministry of edifying the body of Christ brings that balance so that no matter what's going on, you're stable. You're stable. And God wants that for us. And as we allow the Spirit of God to lead us step by step by step, miracles begin to happen to bring about that state. Again, the word is oikodome, and it is to bring us to that place where we are structurally in proper order. We have been edified. We have been built up. The building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. What is it? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come. Come where? Into his presence. Not double-minded. We come in unity of faith. We are in agreement. And we are in agreement that such and such is going to be done, and in that agreement we accomplish it. Remember what God said before the Tower of Babel, when the people were building the Tower of Babel. He said, these guys, there's nothing they are not going to be able to accomplish because they are in agreement. The power of agreement brings us to the place where we accomplish anything we want to accomplish. It brings about a powerful force. That stops the devil dead on his tracks. When the body comes together and say, no, 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 no. Devil, you are not coming here. You are not going to bring sickness in here. This person is not going to die. This body is going to be healed. And there's no doubt, because we are all together in faith, guess what the devil does? Backs off. He has no choice. Even God says there's nothing they cannot do. The power of agreement. If any two of you come into agreement concerning anything, it's going to be done. It's a spiritual law. And the ministry of the apostle, of the prophet, of the evangelist, of the pastor, teacher, is to bring us to that place where we are one unit, in one place, in one accord. And in that place, the commanded blessings of God comes. It is a good thing for brethren to dwell together in unity. And part of what God wants to accomplish is that till we all come, it means we are not all there yet, but we are all going to come together in unity and in the knowledge of the Son of God, coming to know him, and we shall be as he is. because we see him as he is. And by seeing him as he is, we get to see ourselves in the same light. God wants to bring us to that place of unity where I recognize I am righteous. And we look at each other and say, we are righteous in him. We are the forgiven of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the ransomed of the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord. And we look at each other from that perspective, not from the perspective of, look at you, you're a loser. You will never succeed. You're not good enough. You are not this, and so on and so forth. God says, no, no, no. That's not how I want you to see yourself. I want you to see yourself come in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto a perfect man. Come into a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're not there yet, but you are on your way. Praise the Lord. You're on your way. You may be a quarter full or half full or three quarters full or 5/8 or whatever, but you on your way. You're getting there. Just keep on building each other up. And what is the end result? You come into the stature of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Anointed One. What is this fullness of Christ? This is the fullness of the manifestation of the sons of God. This is where we're going. Becoming more and more like him every day. Renewed in our thinking, in our perspective of life, recognizing that God is sovereign and that he's doing what needs to be done. So he says this, that we henceforth, because that's where we're going into that perfect man. We're heading towards that fullness of Christ. We're not there yet, but that's where we're heading. It says that we henceforth, from this point on, be no more children, immature, tossed to and fro, up, down, up, down, up, down, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Always looking for a new word. By the sleight of man, the trickery and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are deceivers all around the world. And there are people who are always looking for a new word, a new revelation. Whatever revelation God has given to them is not enough. Looking for new revelation. And the process, step into error. We must test the Spirit. See whether it's of God. We must be stable, balanced individuals. God has a plan and a purpose. I was watching something on Facebook. Maybe 7 or 8 months back. And this guy had 3 cups. And he puts a ball underneath the cup, and he's moving these cups around, and one of the cups supposedly has something in it that will shake. So he's moving stuff around, and his friend say, okay, whatever it is, it's on this one here. And he opens it, nothing. So he keeps on doing this and moving things and moving them around. But the one that the friend is supposed to pick out is the one that has this rattling sound to it. She moves it. It's there. And the guy says, no, no. You missed it again. He kept on doing it, and the friend keeps on missing it. So finally, he reveals this secret. The shaking was not from the cup. It was something he put behind, underneath his shirt sleeve. So each time he took the cup that was had the shaking, he used his hand and says, and moves things around again, and the cup that has the shaker is right here, and he uses his hand, and he goes like that. And the friend is freaking out. How did you do that? How did... The sleight of man. Sleight of man. If you don't have a whole field of what is happening, you can easily be deceived. And it takes the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place where you become very, very aware of what the truth is. And the Bible tells us that in this last of the last days, that there are going to be people that are just there to deceive people. And everything looks perfect, but it's a wrong spirit. We must be very aware so that we don't get deceived like the rest of the world. You look at our world today and see the deception that is going around, and you wonder, how can people be so deceived? How come they don't see? Well, the God of this world has blinded them. I become very unaware, and what seems to be very clear and obvious to you is very, very unclear to them. There are people that wait to deceive, and part of the ministry of the apostle, of the prophet, of the evangelist, of the pastor teacher is to make sure that you are not just easily deceived, but not deceived. It's one thing to be easily deceived, and one thing not to be deceived. And where we want to be is to be in that state of mind where we are not deceivable, because the seed in us is not a corruptible seed. The 15th verse goes on and says, but speaking the truth in love. It's not like we don't deal with things. Of course, we deal with issues. You don't tell people, oh, everything is okay. When you know that if that person continues in the path that they're going, they're going to go into a real big, deep pit that they cannot get out of. But God doesn't say, take a sledgehammer over their head and kill them. He says, deal with them in love. Speak truth in love. Find a way to communicate what you need to communicate without getting each other estranged from each other. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Speaking the truth in love, that we will grow up in him in all things. That's the idea. Speaking the truth in love. So we all grow in all things. If you're not open to loving, kind criticism, then you're not going to grow. We all have things to learn. This afternoon I was here, and a brother came by, and looking at things, and he had a suggestion, because I had a plan to have the carpet and get to a particular distance up here in front. And he looked at it and said, I think that's a bad idea. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's so close that it's going to be like a barrier. Come this far and no more. And so I said that, yeah, that makes sense. Now, if I wasn't willing to listen, I'd say, well, that's the way it's going to be. Why would that be a line? Don't the people have enough sense to know that's not a line? And you start arguing crazily. You know, it's just foolish talk. Listen, you got something here. How far should it go? It'll figure it out. Maybe you should go up to that point over there. I said, I think that's better. Then I looked at the mid area there. Whatever we wanted to do there, it's not going to work. Let's use that material and bring it up here. That'll fit over here. It's more work, but it's going to be done right. I wish we had done it this way. Same things, but now shifted. And now it looks right. That's what speaking truth in love does. Speaking truth in love brings a suggestion that gets the other person to think, rethink. Sister Christian has been doing an awesome job with her videos, you know, putting videos together. But now and then, you know, when she brings a video up, I look at it and say, oh, perfect, this is good. But there comes a time when she shows me something and say, what are you trying to accomplish here? I think maybe you should try this. And we talk it through, and we end up with a better result than what was started with. Well, shift this over here. That would tell the story better. Do this. It's the flow. The idea is we have a goal. There's something we want to get to. And in this case, the goal is that we grow up into Him. That's all we want to do. We want to grow up into Him. I'm not here, you know, hey, thou should not smoke. Well, I don't have a verse for that. But it's not honorable. If, you know, I can't find your passage of scripture that says I should not drink wine. But you know what? I don't. So why? Well, if you come talking to me about the things of God, or you have a need, and I'm smelling booze, and I'm talking to you, how believable am I to you? Now, even though I may be telling you the truth, the very fact that you're smelling booze from my bread says, hey, this guy's drunk. I'm not going to listen to that. He's drunk. So for your sake, I sanctify myself so that I do not become a stumbling block to the other person. doesn't take anything from me, but it's the right thing to do. So we sacrifice for each other so that we can be a blessing, so that we all grow up in all things into Him, which is our head. We grow up into Christ, who is our head, the anointed one and His anointing. That is the agenda, that we become more like Christ. The agenda is not so that we go to heaven. I want to live right so I can go to heaven. Excuse me? That's not it. You already seated with Him in heavenly places. In the first place, what you lost was not heaven. What you lost was earth. We lost the world, our inheritance in the world. And so when I'm in Christ and I'm growing into the fullness of Him who is the head, Jesus is Lord, it is so that I become very aware of the fact that God wants me to possess the earth. This world that He created, He wants me to have my inheritance here. I have my inheritance there, but I have to subdue all things here. That was the assignment. Is that what it says in the Bible? He gave them power to subdue all things. And being in Christ, growing up in Christ, is about us having authority in heaven and causing that authority to be established in the earth. They have charge and control here. We all want to get out of here. Meanwhile, God wants us here. I want to go to heaven. No, stay there. Possess the earth. Occupy till I come. Is that what He said? But we're all trying to go. I just want to go to heaven. Oh, Lord, I want to go to heaven. And God is saying, no, I don't want you in heaven. I want you in the earth. I want you doing my will in the earth. I want you to shine brightly as light in the earth. I want you to subdue the earth. That's why I left you there. If what God was interested in is to get us into heaven just like that, guess what? As soon as you get saved, beam me up, Scotty. You're gone. But you're here to live out the God life. That's why you and I are here. So that we reign with Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did you know? That when it's all said and done, when this earth is consumed away, you're going to still live in the earth, a new earth, because that's where you're supposed to be. Well, I'm going to heaven. Great. God says, I want you in the earth. I want you to live out your life in the earth as godly men and women. And when it's all said and done, to the earth you come back to. Because this is where you're supposed to be. And growing up into the fullness of who He is, the Christ, is becoming aware that we have been anointed as Christians to see the will of God done in the earth as it is in heaven. This is a colony of heaven. And God wants us to live in the earth as if we were in heaven. Wow. Ambassadors are not needed in their country. They are needed in the country they were sent to. You know what that means? You don't look to die. You don't look for dying. We're not meant to die. So when you see that you're supposed to be here, you take care of the earth. You see, you be the best environmentalist when you know you're supposed to be here. You will not be polluting it because you know you're supposed to be here. You will not be rubbishing stuff here because you know you're supposed to be here. You take care of things properly. But because we want to all get zapped out of here, we could care less. Start caring. You know, we sing songs like, "This world is not my home. I am just passing through." Yeah. Wrong song. You're supposed to be here, representing God here, subjecting it now, living it up here. He died to make it possible for me to live properly here. Well, that's another teaching for another day. But for us to do so effectively, we have to grow up. And say like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are there and here at the same time. Because that's exactly what the truth is. And as long as we don't want to grow up into Him, even the Christ, the Anointed One, whose anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens, will always want to run out. Get out of here. But that's not what God wants. Wrap up. Give me the next verse. Yeah, I'll stop in 15. But I'll just read 16 to close up. It says, from whom? From the head, when we grow up into Him. It says, from whom the head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That would be a good place to start from next week. In a nutshell, God wants us to work together. Bring the best that we've got to the table. The skills that we have, bring it to the table. And everything works together perfectly. I use this small part here as an illustration. I did not put a nail or a screw or cut anything here. In fact, I was forbidden to do any of that. Yes, they reminded me of when I tried many years ago. Everything I did, I was hurting myself. It's not my calling. But there are people that know how to do their thing. I came, I encouraged, I looked at what they were doing, asked questions, how are you doing this, why are you doing this, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Then I go do my thing. While they were busy working fervently and tediously here, I was doing a different kind of work. My work was, I need to find out what the right chairs are, what kind of carpeting is going to work, what kind of lights need to be in here, what kind of this, what kind of that, asking all kinds of questions, talking with people that don't even speak English, and I don't speak their language, and I'm working till 3, 4 a.m. in the morning because that's the time difference. And I know I'm going to be up at 6:30. But the only time I can chat with these guys from now on till 4, 3 in the morning. So I was doing my own stuff, negotiating, planning, sorting out things, and doing whatever it is I need to do. Well, that was part of my job. Other people had other jobs. Other people went to work, earned their money, and said, I'm going to give $1,000 to the Lord. I'm going to give $5,000. I'm going to give $10,000. I'm going to give $100. Whatever it was that they worked for, everybody supplying. And in the process of bringing their best, everybody doing their part, we get the job done. Sunday morning, I was here for my time of prayer. And the guy who's installing the carpet was still here because he had some work to do. He'd worked all night. I met him here, 7. When I came at just to 7, Brad James was here. I saw his car. I said, James is here. He's here that early. Oh, he came to put the chairs together and whatever else. And I'm praying and I'm looking, and the place was dusty. I said, shh. Brother James, can you please mop? Please clean up this stuff. That's going to take some time. But Pastor, since you asked, I'm going to do it. And he said, cleaning, mopping, and I'm praying. The guy doing his carpet is doing his carpeting. He's doing his cleaning, and I'm praying. So I finished. After 8, James was still cleaning. I said, if this guy cleans this thing all by himself, he's not going to go home. So I said, can I use this rag? And guess what? He's busy cleaning. I'm cleaning all the handles. I'm thinking, if I can just clean the handles, that would be enough. Then while I'm busy cleaning the handles, my black jeans start getting dirty. I say, oh, the seats, there must be a lot of dust. So we start cleaning the seats too. So that when people get here, nobody will go home and say, hey, let me clean that from your back. Well, it is called working together. Why? For the edifying of the body. So how was the body edified? You didn't go home saying, the church was very dirty today. Why didn't somebody clean that thing up? Nobody was griping. Because that burden had been shifted away. And that's what we do for each other. You see what needs to be done? Just do it. You don't say, that's not my job. I didn't say, I'm the pastor. I'm beyond wiping chairs. What foolishness is that? We work together for a greater purpose. We're here to serve each other so that we all grow up into Him. And He, remember what He said? He said, if you're going to be the big guy, you're going to be the servant. So we serve. Leadership is about serving each other. That does not mean you dishonor the person that is a leader that's serving. You know, there are times when you say to the leader, no. You can't be doing this. No, we're not allowing you to do that. But you have to be careful also on the flip side to know when people are telling you not to do something and you know that's what you're supposed to do, to do it. Because some kind of honor can end up becoming dishonor. I give you the example. The Bible says at the time when kings were supposed to go to war, David stayed home. And when he stayed home, there was a woman called Bathsheba over there having a bath. And he started having lust. And he ends up inviting Bathsheba to his house or his palace, committed adultery. And that's not where it all ended. When the woman got pregnant, he gets the husband to come home and wants to pass off the child to the husband Uriah. And when Uriah was so faithful and committed, and he will not do any such thing, even though he tried to get him drunk so he can go home. And even in a drunk state, the man still not go home. He decided to kill the guy. What was his problem? His problem started from at a time when kings were supposed to go to war. The bottom line is, do what you're supposed to do and be faithful to what God has called you to do, and you will not be in trouble. If you're not, and that's not where any one of us want to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, build your church, your people, the people that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. Anoint us, O God, with that anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. Show forth your glory in us and through us. We thank you, Lord, O God, for the essence of grace manifested in us and through us this day. Be magnified, O God, in our worship and adoration. Help us, O God, to seek after you with all of our hearts, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be of service one to the other, that your name may be magnified in us and through us at all times. We say yes to your will, yes to your word, yes to your purpose, yes to grace. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we commit the meetings coming up on Friday to you. Let this Glory Fest be a conference that we'll never forget, because you came and made your abode in us as we assembled ourselves together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can now live in the fullness of life, the fullness that's in Christ Jesus, our sovereign Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Speak to us and make us every with whole. In Yeshua's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. This time, let us honor God with our giving. And may the Lord continue to direct your path in every area. And may his peace garrison your hearts. May God bless you richly. Be empowered to succeed. In Jesus' mighty name, be blessed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Good night, folks. Have anyone?